Now, here's the subject for today. The old story for a new day. The old story for a new day. And I'm reading Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 8. Now, verse 8, you've heard quoted many, many times. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the verse preceding that verse goes with it and must be read along with that verse. So I'm reading verse 7 and verse 8. Now listen, and you'll see why these verses must go together. The apostle writes in Hebrews 13:7, remember them, respect them, listen to them, who have the rule over you, your spiritual leaders and teachers, pastors, who have spoken unto you the word of the Lord. Remember these who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose gospel, whose faith follow. Follow the faith that they preach. Follow the gospel that they preach. Considering the end of their conversation or the goal of their ministry, considering the objective of their ministry, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you see why they have to go together? One of the problems we have in this day is the sickness of verse-itis. We just, at liberty, carelessly lift verses out of the Bible and just quote them and say, this is what the Bible says. Well, it does say that, but it says something that reveals what it means when it says that. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose gospel follow, considering the goal of their ministry, the reason for their ministry, the objective of their ministry, which is to point you and lead you to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My friends, time and knowledge has drastically changed every occupation, almost every occupation. Let's put it that way. Because of new tools, new materials, knowledge, most every occupation does not even resemble what they were centuries ago. All these occupations are different. Think about the science of medicine, how different it is now. Or government, or teaching, or masonry, carpentry, steel making, oil. These are all so different because time has changed these occupations. But there's one occupation. There's one profession. There's one vocation, one message that's totally the same. It never changes. To change it is to ruin it. To change it would be detrimental to it. To change it would cause it totally to lose its power. Just the slightest alteration in this message, in this profession, would make it lose its power and make it to become error. What is that? The gospel ministry. That's right, the Word of God. The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He says here, the end of our ministry, the goal of our ministry, is the same. Whether it's Moses preaching, Abraham, David, Isaiah, Paul, Augustine, Ignatius, Polycarp, Martin Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Huss, whomever, me, is Jesus Christ. And He is the same. In the yesterday of eternity, today and forever. You see, our gospel, now you listen carefully to me. Our gospel is the ancient gospel. Somebody says, you've got an old message. It's older than that. It's older than that. My message is eternal. It's the ancient gospel of God's grace. Even back yonder 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 20 millenniums, they said to our Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we have Moses. We go back further. We have Moses. And the Lord Jesus said, well, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote of me. Here we go back 2,000 years, and they go back 2,000 years and say, we have Moses. And he said, well, if you did hear Moses and have Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. Moses' hope for his own redemption was in Christ Jesus. Moses wrote of Christ. And then they said, well, we have Abraham to our father. They go back another 2,000 years to Abraham. And they said, well, Abraham's our father. And our Lord said, if you were the sons of Abraham, you would love me. Because even Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And before Abraham was, I am. Well, they said this. They said, well, but the Christ is the son of David. They said, he said to them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, he's the son of David. And our Lord said, well, why did David call him Lord if he's his son? If he's his son and of the Jewish heritage, then why did he call him Lord when he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? You see, Jesus of Nazareth is David's Christ and Moses' subject and Abraham's Redeemer. So our God, there's nothing new about our gospel. That's the reason I say change it, ruin it. Change it, destroy it. Change it, take its effect away. Change it, it becomes error. Because there's nothing new about the gospel of God's grace. Let me tell you something. From Abel's sacrifice to the 20th century, it's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason for that is this. Now listen carefully. God is the same. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. God is immutable. The word immutable means unchangeable. God never learns anything and never forgets anything. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. He declareth the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not even done, saying, my counsel shall stand. So God doesn't change. And any time a preacher says, I've got a new message, I've got a new revelation from God, he's a fool, and whoever listens to him is a fool, because God says, I don't change. And when he finished the Word of God, he said, if any man adds to this book, I'll add to him the plagues of this book. And if any man takes away from this book, I'll take his name out of the book of life. God never changes. So his message never changes. His gospel never changes. Whether it's preached by Moses or Abraham or David or Isaiah or you or me. And then sin is the same. In Adam all died. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We trace the mess we're in back to Adam. It hadn't changed. Somebody says, oh, the world's getting worse. No worse than it was when Adam fell. Sin is sin. There may be more open sin at various times. Sin may be covered more at various times, but sin is sin. Rebellion is rebellion. Darkness is darkness. And men are men. And the situation hasn't changed a bit. No different. Sin's no different. Death is the same. Folks still dying. I know we're doing our best to try to live hundreds of years on this earth, but it won't work. God says a man's days are 70. That's 70 years. That'll be the average. That's the average then. It's the average now. It'll be the average 100 years from now. Some will live longer and some will live not so long. But death's the same. It's appointed unto men once to die. You know anybody hadn't died? You say, yeah, a lot of people hadn't died, but they will. They will. Judgment's the same. God Almighty said, I'm going to judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ, whom I've ordained, whereof I've given witness to all men. I raised him from the dead. Judgment hadn't changed. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment, and we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's just so. And we're going to be judged in the light of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's true of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's true of you, your neighbor, and your pastor. That's true of me and everybody else. We're going to be judged according to our union, a relationship, or lack of it, with His Son. He's going to judge the world by that man. Faith's the same. When God defined faith, He went all the way back to Abraham. He said, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. If you want to define faith, don't pick up some of these folks today. Go back and define faith like God did. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And this was not written for his sake alone that it was counted to him for righteousness, but for our sakes also, to whom it shall be imputed as righteousness, if we believe like Abraham believed. That's what God said in Romans 4. The blood atonement's the same. All the way back there in Leviticus 17:11, God said, I've given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. That's 5,000 years ago. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And Paul came along in Hebrews 9:22 and said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Same message. It's the blood. It maketh atonement for the soul. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's Moses' song too. The song of Moses and the Lamb is the blood of Christ unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Resurrection's the same. Mercy's the same. Back in Exodus 33, that's a long, long time ago. Exodus 33, God said to Moses, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And Paul came along in Romans 9 and said, God said to Moses, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Paul and Moses preached the same message. Same profession, same vocation, same message, same gospel. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. We have no new Bible. We have no new message. We have no new revelation. We have the unchanging gospel of the unchanging God. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday and all the yesterdays. Today and all the todays. Whoever's living at that time and using the word today, he's the same. And forever. Any change made in the gospel would be to corrupt it, compromise it, destroy it. Paul said, I do not frustrate, confuse the grace of God. If righteousness and life come by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Now I want your attention for a few moments here. You listen to me. There are three things which a man learns who learns the gospel. Now, it doesn't matter to me how long you've been in religion or how involved you are in religion or how wise you think you are in religion. There are three things that a man learns if he learns the gospel. And these three things never change from Abel to eternity, from Abel's sacrifice to this day. And you know what they are? Have you learned these three things? Listen to them. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Do you know? What happened? What really happened on the cross of Calvary? Do you know? What really happens when God, in mercy and grace, meets a sinner and conquers him. And conquers him and saves him. Do you know? Those are the three things. They've never changed. They've never changed. They've been true from Abraham to this day. Now let's look at them briefly, each one. First of all, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Will you listen to me? What really happened way back there in the Garden of Eden? Well, Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, said this about that happening. He said, let a man go wrong here on what happened in the garden, and his whole system of theology is wrong. It's like heading in the wrong direction from the starting gate. It's like a runner in a race. Instead of going the way the track goes, going the other way. He'll never reach the destination. And if a man doesn't start right, his whole system of theology is wrong, and the starting place is what happened in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Something happened that has affected every one of us and brought about everything that this Bible reveals. Well, first of all, back there in the garden, God created man in his own image. Now, I'm going to be as plain and simple as I can be, quoting Scripture for most of the things I say. God made man upright and holy. That's what Scripture says. He created man in his own image. Man walked with God. The man's name was Adam, which means red earth. Man, made out of the dust. And God breathed into that man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And God gave that man one commandment. He said, "Obey me and live." That was a summary of it. He gave him dominion over the fish, the fowl of the air, the garden, everything. Told him to multiply and replenish the earth, have dominion over all things. But he said, "I'm still God. You're still in subjection to me. I'm the king, you're the subject." And there's one tree in the garden. Nobody knows what that was. I know they picture apples and all these things, but nobody knows. But God said, if you eat of that tree, you'll die. Obey me and live. It was a covenant of works. Man was placed under God's government, under God's covenant, in obedience to God, with all that he had. That was the one law, obey me and live. Disobey me and die. Well, Satan, who had already fallen, you can read that in Isaiah 14. Satan fell from heaven, Christ said, as a lightning. And his sin was, he said, "I will be like God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend to the north. I will be like God. I'll not have God to reign over me." That's what he was saying. And God smote him down. He fell, became Satan, became the devil, became the evil power, the god of this fallen world. Well, he tempted Eve, who in turn spoke to Adam. And he said to Adam, he said, "Hath God said you shall eat of, you not eat of every tree of the garden?" Adam, the woman said, "We can eat of any tree except one." And he said, "God knows that when you eat that tree, you'll be like God." Whoa! That was his sin. You'll be like God. You'll throw off the rule and reign and government of God and no longer be subject to God, and you'll be your own God. That's what David said. The fool has said in his heart, "No God for me. I'll be my own God." And that's what Satan said to this woman. And we know what happened. They took the fruit with this intention. We'll be like God. Throw off his government. Throw off his rule. Throw off his sovereignty. And we'll be God ourselves. Well, you know what happened? They died. They didn't die physically. Adam lived over 800 years. But they died spiritually. The light went out. The man who walked with God now ran from God. The man who knew God now didn't know God. The man who was the wisest man who lived became a fool. The man who was a genius, the man who was holy, became naked. And that man represented all men. You say, how did his fall affect me? Well, the Word of God says this, in Adam all died. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Sin was imputed to us and imparted to us. God never created but one man. Even the woman was taken out of him. He was the head of the human race, and when he fell, we fell. And his carnal, fallen, dark, dead, depraved nature was not only imputed to us, but imparted to us. Sin entered the world, and death, and judgment. Sin was imputed and imparted, and behold, now we're shapen in iniquity. We're born in sin. That's original sin. What causes all the death on this earth? The tears, the heartache, the sickness, the disappointment, the wars and rumors of wars and all these things. Sin. Those things were not in this world before Adam fell. It left its mark on everything, and now we're born in the flesh. And in the flesh, no man can please God. You see what happened in the garden? man died. He wasn't slightly wounded. He died. And he's dead in trespasses and sin. Without God, without hope in this world, separated from God, your sins have separated you from God, destined to be damned unless something happens. And that brings us to what happened on the cross. What happened on the cross of Calvary? Well, in the garden, man fell. On the cross of Calvary, men were restored. You see, let me read the scripture now. You'll find this in Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15. In Adam we died. In Christ we're made alive. When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, when he threw off the government of God, when he said, "My will, not your will," then we died. When Christ came to this earth in the flesh, the second Adam, the Bible says there are two Adams, in the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. In Adam we died, in Christ we're made alive, in the second Adam. And Christ said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's the opposite. Through one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. Through the other man's obedience, we were made righteous. Imputation, impartation. By one man came death, by the new man came resurrection, by the second Adam. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all. By the righteousness of one, the free gift of life came upon all who are in him. All who were represented by Adam. Who were they? All flesh. Black, white, red, yellow, Chinese, Americans, whomever. They all came from one blood. God has made of all one blood all nations. We all have one Father. Our roots go back to Adam. Our sin goes back to Adam. Our death, our confusion, our depravity goes back to Adam. He represented us. He stood and we stood. He fell and we fell. He died and we died. That's what the Bible said. And when Christ came, he represented a new people, a new nation, a new kingdom. And all who are in him are restored and live. You see, the fall in the garden was a total fall. And the restoration on the cross of Calvary was a total restoration. Christ cried, "It's finished." When Adam fell, boy, it was finished then. Finished for any of us to have any hope in the flesh or any hope of ever being brought to God. Too much debt. Too much to pay. Too much condemnation. But when Christ came and paid the debt, he said, "It's finished." Who was on that cross? The second Adam, representative, the Lord from heaven. What did he do on that cross? He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Why did he do this? Because he loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And he died to honor the law and to honor the justice of God, that God may be just and justifier. Well, where is he now? He arose, he ascended, he's at the right hand of God. And all who are in him, all for whom he died, he took with him. Whether in reality or in representation. Well, for whom did he die? For whom did he rise? For whom does he intercede? For all who believe. For all who receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. For all who trust him. And I'll tell you this, did you know the cross of Calvary is older than the Garden of Eden? Oh, preacher, come on. That's right. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Nothing changes. God said, "I'm God. I never change." Well, here's the third question. What happens when a sinner, what happens in a sinner when God meets him in grace and conquers him and reveals Christ to his heart and saves him? I tell you this, don't be deceived. It's a whole lot more than a walk in an aisle. It's a whole lot more than a decision. It's a whole lot more than shaking a counselor's hand or calling somebody on the phone or signing a pledge card or going to a mourner's bench. It's a whole lot more than that. Salvation's a whole lot more than joining a church. What happens in a sinner's heart when God meets him, when God Almighty meets him, and God conquers him, and God reveals Christ to his heart? Well, number one, he believes God. He believes God. You don't have to recite the sinner's prayer for him. He knows what to pray. He believes God. Abraham believed God, and we believe God. And he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not life. Secondly, he's a new creature. He's born again. God regenerates him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new person. He's a babe, and he'll grow, but he's a new creature. The things he once hated, he now loves. And one of the things he once loved, he now hates. He wants to be like Christ. He says with David, I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Thirdly, he has eternal life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He's accepted in the Beloved. He has full access to the throne of God. He's made righteous in Jesus Christ. He's brought into a vital living union with the Son of God. What happens? He loves God. He loves God's Word. He loves God's people. Everyone that loveth is born of God. He's not born of God because he loves. He loves because he's born of God. He's not born of God because he believes. He believes because he's born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. This man is a new creature. And then he walks in the Spirit of God. He walks not in the flesh. He walks in the Spirit of God. He minds the things of God. He lives in the grace of God. It's his life. And he grows in grace, in the fruit of the Spirit. And let me tell you something. He'll continue in the faith too. There's no such doctrine in the New Testament as backsliding. Don't you ever let anybody tell you there is. It's not so. Backsliding had reference to carnal, national Israel who didn't even know God. God's people continue in the faith. They don't quit. And then this man will never die. He has life eternal. He'll sleep, but he'll never die. Do you know what happened in the garden? On the cross? In a sinner, when God saves him, not when some preacher talks him into a profession of faith, but when God saves him, that message never changes. Now, if you want this tape, it's called The Old Story for the New Day. And on the other side, I have another message. I would not have you to be ignorant. Send $2. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.